Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Not every Christian is filled to the sense of overflowing with the Spirit. And I do believe that it's when that overflow takes place, that's when the gifts really begin to be manifested in a person's life. So it's possible to be a Christian, truly, but not to really know what your gift is.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian takes a closer look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, in a message titled, The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, we're taking a bit of a diversion from our John study because we were looking at those various statements that Jesus made in the 14th to the 16th chapter regarding the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, as I mentioned to you, we want to look specifically at the topic of the gifts of the Spirit. And so we're going to pick up in Romans chapter 12. In verse 3 is where we'll pick up here. Paul says, For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So I want you to notice, first of all, that Paul says here that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, this is not the faith that saves a person. Paul's writing to saved people. But he's talking about that measure of faith that would manifest itself in gifts from God. Gifts in order that we might be able to make that contribution to the overall edification of the body of Christ. You see, that's what the gifts are primarily for. The gifts are for the building up of the body of Christ. And so God has given each one a measure of faith, each believer, and maybe even more specifically, it would be each person who is filled with the Spirit. Now, remember, we talked about every Christian is indwelt by the Spirit. But not every Christian is filled to the sense of overflowing with the Spirit. And I do believe that it's when that overflow takes place, that's when the gifts really begin to be manifested in a person's life. So it's possible to be a Christian, truly, but not to really know what your gift is. Not to really, maybe even at this point, have really experienced so much a gift of the Spirit operating in your life. And that's what we want to make sure we understand, and that's what we want to make sure we are all experiencing. Because God has given to each one a measure of faith. God wants every one of His people serving Him with the gifting that He has given to them. The Christian life is a life to be lived. It's not merely a creed to be believed. It is a creed to be believed, but it's also a life to be lived. And we are not to be spectators. So often that's what happens in a church, though. You get a situation where the majority of people are more or less spectators. They sit and they observe a small handful of people utilizing their gifts. And many people never realize that they can also experience the gifts of the Spirit, and they also have a contribution to make, and they also are called to be involved in the ministry of the body of Christ. But we have to understand that. It's not a spectator situation. God wants all of us using our gifts, ministering to one another. And there are a variety of gifts, as we're going to see, and they will manifest themselves in a variety of different ways. But nevertheless, as each person is using that gift, the body of Christ is being built up. So Paul tells us in verse 6 that we have differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So notice that the gifts are according to the grace of God. It's not, you know, that I've merited a gift that is greater than somebody else's. God, as Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians 12, he distributes the gifts as he sees fit. And in the end, it's all about what God's will is. And when he gives a gift, it's by his grace. It's not because I'm so special or I'm better than somebody else or I'm more holy or any of those kinds of things. Paul says here, it's by the grace of God. And that's true. But then he says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See, that's the important thing, that we use the gifts. You know, it's possible to have a gift, but not to use it. Paul exhorted Timothy. He said, stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of my hands. And what Paul was seeming to imply there was that Timothy was sort of neglecting the gifts that were in him. It's possible to not use those gifts, to not stir them up, and it's possible that they could sort of become dormant. So we've got to stir them up, as Paul said to Timothy, or literally he said, fan them to full flame. Now here, Paul, he's going to give us a list of some gifts. Now, it's not an exhaustive list, but he does give us here a number of gifts. They are prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Those are the gifts that he mentions here. So he says, if a person has the gift of prophecy, he says, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, the gift of prophecy that Paul's talking about here is a gifting to proclaim God's word. And when we talk about prophecy, what we're talking about is the proclamation of God's word under the direction of the Holy Spirit. See, it's possible to take the Bible, open it up, stand up in front of a group of people and read it, but not necessarily be prophesying. See, the prophecy element happens when the Spirit of God immediately is upon the person who is reading or commenting on the word, and so there's a supernatural thing that's taking place there. So if a person is gifted with prophecy, let them prophesy in proportion to their faith. Or ministry. And the word ministry, I think many of you know, simply means serving. A minister is a servant. So a person who has the gift of ministry is a person who has the gift of serving. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts. The idea behind exhortation is to, when you exhort somebody, there's a challenging element to it. You're instructing them, but you're instructing them with the application. There's a challenge there. There's sort of a provocation by the Spirit to put into action the things that God is teaching you or the things that God has given you. And then he mentions the person who gives. He who gives, let him do so with liberality. Let him give freely, abundantly. He who leads, let him do so with diligence, and he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, here's something that I want you to see, and I think you will see it as we talk about it. These are spiritual gifts. There's a supernatural element to them, but these particular gifts manifest themselves largely in a very natural kind of a way. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm teaching and I'm prophesying. Those are the gifts that are working together. Now, you don't see a halo over my head. There doesn't appear to be anything all that supernatural about what I'm doing up here. But you know that there is something supernatural happening because God speaks to you. You tell me that. God spoke to me last night through that message. You see, it's a natural sort of a thing. What I'm doing up here is teaching. It seems a very natural thing, but there's a supernatural element to it because God is speaking into your life. Sometimes he's speaking to you about things that only you know about. Nobody else could possibly know about. And so you realize there's a supernatural thing going on. Now, look at some of the other gifts that he mentions here. Ministry, serving. Now, when a person is going around serving, we had a bunch of guys serving around here today. It didn't look like there was a whole lot of supernatural activity going on, but there very well could have been. Because it wasn't necessarily just a bunch of guys that got together to work hard. Some of the guys really had the gift of ministry. And they're always there to serve. They're always there in humility to just help out. And, you know, nobody even knows quite often that they are there or what they're doing, but they're just there serving away. That's a supernatural gift. It doesn't necessarily look like it, but you see it is. And then giving. Think about giving. There are people that are given the gift of giving. And so again, giving seems like a natural thing, but there's something supernatural that's going on there. Leading. When a person is leading others, again, when you look at it, it doesn't necessarily look like there's anything all that spiritual going on or supernatural, but there's something supernatural. There's an underlying supernatural element. And so it is with showing mercy. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because people oftentimes mistakenly think that unless there's all kinds of wild and crazy stuff going on, that the Spirit isn't moving. And they say, oh, you know, I don't want to go to that church over there, man. It's dead. You know, the Spirit's not there. The Spirit's not moving. Well, why? Why do you think that? Oh, they never speak in tongues. They never prophesy. They're not excited. You know, there's nothing dynamic going on, they might say. But you see, the problem is with their understanding of the ministry of the Spirit. The Spirit very often, quite often, is working supernaturally in very natural kind of ways. And sometimes, even as it's happening, you don't realize it. But you know, a lot of times what happens is it's after the fact. You walk away and you think, wow, well, there was something going on there. That, you know, the Lord did something there. It might have been with that person who came along and helped you and was serving. And at the time, you just thought, wow, this is great. Praise the Lord. I'm glad this person's here helping out. But after it was over, you thought, wow, you know, that was the Lord. The Lord brought that person along. And just their attitude and the way they went about their ministry and just all that we accomplished, man, the Lord was in that. So you see, we've got to get away from that idea that unless there's a lot of sensational kinds of spiritual things going on, that the Spirit isn't moving. That isn't true. Now, these gifts, as well as the next group we're going to look at over in Ephesians 4, you might want to turn there. These gifts, I believe them to be the permanent possession of those who receive them. When you receive these gifts, they are yours. God gives them to you, And these are the areas that you will function in the body. Now, it's possible to have more than one gift. Some people have a multiple number of gifts. I think of the apostles, for example. The apostles were gifted in so many ways. They were apostles, they were prophets, they were evangelists, they were pastors, they were teachers, they worked miracles. They had a multiplicity of gifts. So it's possible to have more than one gift. It's possible to have a number of gifts. And when a person receives these gifts, they become the permanent possession of that person throughout their life as they walk with the Lord. And this is the areas that he uses them in primarily within his body to strengthen and to build up the body of Christ. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 4, we have another list of gifts. And these are gifts of spiritual leadership. They're, in a sense, they're gifts of government within the church. And here Paul tells us that Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, verse 11, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now listen, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. So there are gifted men, apostles. An apostle is one who is gifted by God to pioneer the work of God into areas. The apostles were itinerant. They were not permanently situated in one place. They were on the move, and they were planting. They were taking the kingdom of God with them as they went, and they were establishing God's kingdom in these places, establishing churches. Now, I believe that today we have apostles, not like the original 12. They were unique, and their ministry is never to be repeated in history, but there's a secondary sort of a gifting of apostle. And that is that gifting, again, to go in and to have vision and to lead the work of God into a particular region. And then maybe to even oversee the work of God in a particular region. So people ask the question, do we have apostles today? Yes, in one sense we do. No, in another sense we don't. We don't have apostles like Paul or Peter or James or John. We don't have men who can write scripture, speak with divine authority. Absolutely, we do not have that today. But we do have these men that have been gifted by God and called by God to take his message into nations and into regions and out to people. Then we have here prophets. And prophets are similar to apostles. I think the difference between a prophet and a pastor teacher, both ministries have to do with the word of God, but I think the difference between the prophet and the pastor teacher is the prophet's ministry is larger than a local congregation. The pastor teacher, generally their ministry is limited to just that local fellowship that they are overseeing. But a person who's a prophet has a broader ministry, a voice that goes out beyond the local congregation to the larger body of Christ. And the prophets would also be those who work along with the apostles in the pioneering of the work of God. And then we have the evangelist. Now, every Christian has the privilege and the responsibility to share the gospel with people. And we do at times have the opportunity of leading people to Christ. But there are certain men that have been gifted, and women too, over the ages to really minister the gospel in a way that leads people to Christ. That is their gifting. And you see with them as they deliver God's word, they deliver it in such a way as to draw people to the Lord. And so there are the apostles, there are the prophets, there are the evangelists, and then there are the pastor teachers. Actually, it's not two separate roles, it's one role, pastor teacher. And these are, of course, the men who pastor or oversee, shepherd God's people. The word pastor means to shepherd. So these are the ones that take care of God's people by praying for them, by advising them from God's word, and then, of course, teaching them, instructing them, helping them to grow in their faith. Now, God gives these gifted leaders to his church so the general body of Christ can be edified. So the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are there for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For a long time, and still it's the case among some, the idea was that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, their job was to, number one, equip the saints, number two, do the work of the ministry, number three, build up the body of Christ. And that interpretation sort of led to that spectator situation that I described earlier. You see, because people would come to church and it was understood that, well, the work of the ministry, that's the pastor's job. And he, you know, he's to equip the saints, he's to do the work of the ministry, he's to build up the body of Christ. And then what you ended up having are a bunch of people that just sat watching the pastor or the pastors, the leaders, watching them do the work of the ministry. But that was based on, actually, believe it or not, it was based on a mistranslation. The older version states it in that way. It puts a comma for the equipping of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The better translation is to remove the comma, to remove the first comma, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. See, that's the correct understanding. The work of the ministry, that's the privilege, that's the blessing of the saints. That's what all of God's people get to do. They get to do the work of the ministry. If it was just left up to a handful of people, guess what? The body of Christ wouldn't be built up, really, like it needs to be, because just a small handful of people can't do everything that needs to be done. You see, the church, all of us, every one of us, having differing gifts, we're all to be making a contribution, and as we're doing that, the body is being edified. The body is being built up. The local body, the body outside of our local situation here, and ultimately, the body of Christ as far as we can reach around the world.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. This book is an unparalleled resource that provides a treasure trove of information on every major teaching of the Bible. It addresses with penetrating insight the doctrine of Scripture, its history and authenticity, the doctrine of man, his origin and purpose, the doctrine of angels, their existence and nature, the doctrine of Satan, his war against God and mankind, and the doctrine of salvation, including aspects of redemption, reconciliation, regeneration, justification, and faith. This invaluable book does more than just impart knowledge. It challenges you to apply biblical teachings to daily life, helping you to live out your faith in new and deeper ways. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this book Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.